James in chapter 5, from verse 12, James writes, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay nay, lest ye fall into condemnation. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. There are many who pray, or so they say. There are many in the world who, brought to the right circumstances, brought into trouble, into trial, who will speak of praying. They will turn to their gods and pray. They will turn to their God and pray, whoever that may be. But their prayers are ineffectual if they're not the prayer of faith. Yes, ungodly men pray, but they pray to the wind. They pray to dead idols. They pray in their head to be delivered from trouble, to God that they do not know, that they do not truly worship, that they do not truly love, and who answer them not. There are many, including you and I at one point, who have no time for God, no time for Jesus Christ, no time for the gospel. And yet when life circumstances come upon us that we're brought into some sort of trial or emergency, if a loved one becomes sick, if a loved one is near death, or if some sort of huge trial comes upon us, a loss of a job, a loss of circumstances, where our back is against the wall, suddenly we may turn to prayer. Suddenly this God, whom we have no time for, becomes perhaps more important. Suddenly we will call out, "If there's a God, help me, deliver me, save my child. Answer my prayers in this circumstance." But how vain the prayers are. We pray to a God who in normal circumstances we have no time for. We have a vain hope that there's someone out there who may come to our aid, but who we'd never call upon in better days. Also, the prayers of the ungodly, you and I by nature, are self-centered. We rarely pray for others. We'd rarely be moved in circumstance, by the afflictions of others. Our thoughts are largely centered on ourselves and those that concern us. We'll pray for ourselves in trouble. We'll pray for our loved ones in trouble. But others we have no care for. The prayer of the ungodly is a selfish prayer, a self-centered prayer. Prosper me. Help me. Many pray to their gods or their idea of who God is when in trouble. But without faith, they know not God. And as Hebrews tells us, without faith it is impossible to please God. Without faith it's impossible to know God. Without faith our prayers are but words. Vain repetition, spoken to the wind, unanswered, unheard. Here in chapter 5, James refers to the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man. He refers to the prayer of faith. And he refers to the example of Elijah, who at one time prayed that it should not rain. And it rained not for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again that it should rain, and the Lord sent great rain. This man prayed and the elements obeyed. He prayed to his God that it should not rain, and the Lord kept rain back. He prayed that it should rain, and the Lord sent rain. Who has the power, the command, whose God hears such prayers? In 1 Kings 17 we read, Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And so it was. And then towards the end of 1 Kings 18, we hear him pray the Lord to send rain. In 1 Kings 18 verse 1 we read, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth. In verse 41, Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, and he cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. This man prayed that it should not rain, and the Lord kept the rain back. He prayed, and the Lord sent rain. What a difference in the prayers of Elijah from the prayers of the ungodly. And the difference is illustrated in that which is seen between these two events. Earlier in 1 Kings 18, we read of the events on Mount Carmel. Verse 17 we read, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house. in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baalim. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long shall ye halt between two opinions? How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey. Or peradventure he sleepeth and must be awaked. And they cried aloud, and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. He alone was the prophet of the Lord. There were 450 prophets of Baal. 450 prophets who called out unto their God from morning until night. And their God, Baal, answered them not a word. To whom are you praying? To whom are you looking in your life's journey? When trouble comes your way, when circumstances are placed outside of your control and your strength to do something about them. In a good day, you tackle your troubles your own way. You're strong. You make your own decisions. You take your own actions. But there are those days where events come upon you that you can do nothing about. They're bigger than you. When a storm comes outside, you can't resist it. When you're on the sea and a storm tosses the ship about that you could sink, there's nothing you can do. When sickness comes your way, you cannot prevent it. When calamity strikes, fear comes upon you. And to whom do you call? Do you cry out like these prophets of Baal? 450 of them. Do you cry out unto a God who cannot answer. Do you cry in a vain hope? Do you pray ineffectual prayers? Oh, you may be in a multitude. You may be amongst the majority. Here's this one prophet Elijah speaking of the Lord God. Here's this one preacher preaching the gospel and pointing sinners unto Christ, whilst the world in a multitude mocks and laughs and goes its own way and bows down to Baal with its 450 prophets. You may go with the crowd and the popular opinion. You may have numbers on your side. All the scientists, all the wise men, all the learned may back you up. But when it comes to calling upon your God, there's no answer. For all the multitude, for all the prophets, for all the second opinions, there's nothing there. And your prayers are vain. And your cries are unheard. And the prophet Elijah comes unto you and says unto you, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Without faith, prayer is but vain words. The prayers of saved men, however, the prayers of those whom God has met and delivered from darkness, delivered from sin, delivered from themselves, delivered from the blindness and delusion of this world, the wisdom of this world, the religion of this world, delivered from following Baal. The prayers of those who've come to know the gospel, who've been brought to Jesus Christ. The prayers of those who are washed in the blood of a Saviour, who loved them and gave himself for them. The prayers of the righteous are prayers that are heard. They are prayers of faith. And they are prayers which are very different in character so often from the prayers of the world. The world prays for selfish gain continually. God's people are brought by the Spirit of God to pray for the glory of God, the furtherance of the gospel, the good of his people. They pray for one another. They pray for the sick and the desperate and the lowly. And as led by God to pray, their prayers are heard. James gives examples in the chapter we read. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And exhorts the prayer one for another. And the real healing of which James is pointing them is not simply the healing of temporal sickness that may come upon us. But the real healing and the real prayer that's answered for the healing of one another is the healing of the soul, the forgiveness of sins, the salvation of sinners. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. This is what real prayer brings. It takes the lost blind sinner and causes him to see. It takes the deaf man and causes him to hear. It takes the lame and causes him to walk. It calls out unto the dead and he comes forth alive. When Christ, the just man, came in this world and preached the gospel of the kingdom, he went about touching the eyes of the blind, and the blind saw, touching the ears of the deaf, and the deaf heard, touching the lame, and the lame walked, calling out unto Lazarus, Lazarus, come forth, and dead Lazarus, who'd laid in the grave for 4 days, came forth with newness of life. If Christ prays for you, if the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man prays for a dead man, that dead man lives. Should Christ look upon you in the darkness of your sin, in the deadness of your sin, in the blindness of your sin, if Christ should look upon you and pray unto the Father for you, then you will hear. You will see. You will stand up and walk. And you will live with eternal everlasting life and a righteousness which is of God. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. In 1 Kings 17 and 18, we saw the prayers of Elijah. We saw them contrasted with those 450 prophets who cried out under Baal, and there was nothing. There was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. Nothing. Are you praying? Are you calling? Are you trusting in that which cannot help you? You may say, oh, I've never really prayed unto a God. I don't believe in gods. I don't believe in any God. I don't believe in the supernatural. It's all nonsense. So what are you trusting in? You trust in yourself. You trust in your own wisdom and your own knowledge and your own ability. You trust in your own works and your own self-righteousness. You trust in the wisdom and the knowledge and the ability and the works of others. A multitude come unto you and say, this is the way. This is our consensus. This is our wisdom. And you hear them and you follow them. They may come under different names. They may not speak of Baal and they may not call themselves prophets. But they're just the same. They may call themselves scientists, engineers, intellects, great leaders, great thinkers. And you may bow down to their wisdom and their message and say, that's the way I'll follow. And in them you put your trust. And in that wisdom you put your trust. And when trouble comes and you cry out and you look to that wisdom and that knowledge, that understanding to help, and you cry out in the midst of trouble, you discover there's neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regard it. It's darkness. It's death. It's dead. It's silent. How long? Halt ye between two opinions. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if these, then follow them. But after the silence of Baal, Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, under whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice, and on the wood. And he said, do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, the Lord, he is the God, the Lord, he is the God. Oh, what a difference when Elijah prayed unto this true and living God. Though drenched in water, the sacrifice was consumed utterly by the fires of God that came down when Elijah prayed. What a difference there are between the prayers of faith and the vain prayers of dead men in the flesh. The prayers of men are of little worth. There's no good in the flesh. There's no good in man. There's no wisdom in man. But those in Christ who pray as led by the Spirit are heard as they are in Christ. They pray in faith. They look unto Christ to do according to his will, not theirs. Christ intercedes for them. He hears them. He takes their prayer unto the Father, and the Father hears for Christ's sake. And the Father answers. He's the one who prays. He is the righteous man who prays on his people's behalf. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. He is this man. When we pray by faith, it's Christ who hears and prays for us. If we pray in the Spirit as led by God, if our prayers are those that God gave us to pray, he's the one who takes them to the Father and answers. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Christ lives and reigns on behalf of his people. He takes their prayers unto the Father. He can take the sinner who's sunk in sin, miles away, in the darkness, blind to the truth, hard-hearted, And when he comes unto him in the gospel and puts faith in the heart to call out unto him, "Help me, Lord, have mercy upon me," he can save to the uttermost. This faith that God gives unto his children looks unto Christ. And he looks to the Father and takes our prayers unto him. It's his faith he gives his children. It's his faith in which we pray. It's his faith which comes unto the Father. It's his faith that saves the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. How different are the prayers of those who are in Christ from the prayers of the world and the world's religion. All things whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive, Christ says. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Pray for others. In Matthew chapter 6, Christ says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to the Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of, before ye ask him. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen." That's how different are the prayers of faith from the prayers of men in the flesh. But why are they different? They're different because of Christ. They're different because it's his faith that he gives unto his children. It's his faith that causes them to pray. It's he that takes our prayers unto the Father. It's he that lays prayer upon our hearts. It's he that causes his people to pray one for another and for the glory of God and the fervence of the gospel. And it's he who has the power to bring that prayer unto an almighty God, unto his Father, who is able to hear and able to answer and able to save to the uttermost. This God unto whom our prayers are brought is the God that sent down that fire upon the sacrifice at Carmel. When all the prayers of the multitude to their gods unto Baal brought forth nothing but silence, the prayers of God's people, the prayers of faith, the prayers of Christ bring down salvation. Who are you looking to? Who are you praying to? Who's praying for you? As Christ looked upon you in mercy and in grace, as he come unto you in his gospel, as he looked upon you in the darkness and the captivity of your sin and prayed for you that you should be delivered. His prayers are what all this chapter of James is pointing us to. When James refers to Elias, who prayed that it should not rain and then prayed that it should rain, when he points us to Elijah at Carmel, when he points to the prayers, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, he's pointing us and leading us unto Christ. If you have faith, it's unto him you look, and it's because he prays. It's because he prayed for you. It's because he prayed for his people that their prayers are answered. Oh, his prayers that we see in the scriptures. Oh, how Christ prayed. How he walked before his Father. How he communed with his Father. How his life was a life of faith. A life of communion with God. A life of prayer. Matthew 14 we read, "And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. He went before his God, and he sought the Father's will. He prayed." In John 17 we read of Christ's prayer for his people, his fervent prayer for them in this world. "And now, O Father, glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee. Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me I have kept, and none of them is lost but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. And now I come to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through thy word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me. For thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world have not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that thy love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. Oh, what a prayer for his people. Did he pray it for you? Has he prayed it for you? Have you heard him? How often he prayed for the good of his people. When he was delivered to be crucified. When he knew that his hour was coming upon him, before Judas came upon him in the Garden of Gethsemane with the chief priests and the scribes to capture him and to betray him, he was there in Gethsemane praying for the good and the salvation of his people. He knew what he would face. He knew what was coming upon him. He knew the cup he must drink, the turmoil he went through. And you see in his prayers the contrast between that which would be praying for himself and that which is praying for the glory of God and the good of his people. In himself, as a man, he'd rather be spared that which he must suffer. But he prayed that God's will would be done. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face, and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, Sleep on now, and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. He knew what was coming upon him. He knew what he must endure upon the cross, as the sins of his people would be laid upon him, as he was made sin, as the wrath of God was poured out upon him, as he must drink that cup of God's wrath against all the sins of all his people for at all time. He knew he must be slain. He knew he must die. He knew he must suffer the eternal judgment of God against those sins, against that unbelief of men, against that hatred of men, against those wicked prayers of men, against that which causes us all to go off and to seek and follow Baal and our own wisdom and our own understanding and our own works and our own righteousness and fall down at its altar. He had to bear the judgment of his people's sins. If that was you, and you're his, then he bore your unbelief, your betrayal, your denial of him. He bore your worship of Baal and your hateful, worthless prayers to Baal. He bore your wicked unbelief and following the wisdom of men and the righteousness of men. He suffered in your place. And what a cup it was to drink. When forsaken of all men, and judged of God the Father, alone hanging upon the cross, he cried out, My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And yet he drank that cup. For his prayer was, Thy will be done. He did it because he loved his people. And he prayed for his people that none of them should be lost, that none of them should be left to themselves, that none of them should be left in the darkness. He prayed unto his Father that all that the Father had given him should hear, should be saved, that all that the Father had given him should have their sins washed away. He prayed unto the Father, lay their sins upon me, lay their guilt upon me, I will pay the price that they might live. Did he look upon you and pray unto the Father, take their sins and lay them upon me that they should live, that they should no longer follow Baal and their false gods, but that they should know me and know thee and be one with us, that they should have life everlasting? As he hung upon the cross, did he look out upon you and cry out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Did he say unto you, as he said to that thief on his one side, today you will be with me in paradise? As we stood there, nailing him to the cross with our unbelief, our hatred and our rejection, as we derided him, as we mocked him, as we looked on in unbelief, as we denied him like Peter denied him 3 times, as we stood there afar off, did he look across at us and say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? Did he pray for you, for me? Lord, save them. Lord, save them. The prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Did Christ pray for you and I? Will we live? Do we live in Jesus Christ alone? Oh, may he have grace. May he have mercy upon us, that though we have hated and rejected him, though we closed our eyes and closed our ears, nevertheless, he took our sin, he bore it away, and he prayed unto his Father, forgive them, they know not what they do. Amen.